الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, and some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those are our new listeners, our new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be treatment of others. This is going to be part two. I already did part one. This is going to be part two, basically of the same subject. And since the last time I did this particular episode, covered this particular topic, up until now, I just wonder in between how much many of you who are my students have treated people differently and treated them well, and not disrespected people, and had mercy towards people, and being gentle towards people, and showing kindness towards people. So I just wonder how many of you have done it from the last time I did a program similar to this and to this present program of this particular topic that I'm going over now. And so if I do a treatment of others three, I'm going to probably ask the same question. So be ready for it. Now, first of all, we're going to look at what the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, said. He said that treat your children fairly. Because sometimes we don't treat our children fairly. And that's not all the time, everyone, but some people, they don't. They may promise something to their child. They said, if you do this, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you some candy or let you go outside or let you use computer or your laptop or something like that or your cell phone if you do this. But then they do that thing and you lie. You don't give them what you say you're going to give to them, and that really is a lie. So that's not really treating your child or your children in a fair manner. Yes, they're your children. Yes, they're younger than you and all these other things that go along with that relationship between yourself and children. Or young children that you come in contact with, they don't necessarily have to be children from yourself or from that of your spouse. And so the thing is, how fairly do you treat the children? Of your school teacher, how fairly do you treat the children? A child from, say, for example, your tribe, you treat them one way, and a child from another tribe, and you all know what I'm talking about, you treat them another way. Are you treating the children fairly? Again, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, he talked about the treatment of children. He said, treat your children fairly. Let's go to the next one, where the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, Allah enjoins you to treat your mothers kindly. Three times, Allah enjoins you to treat your father kindly. Allah enjoins you to treat the closest and the next closest kindly. And so he instructs you, first of all, to do what? Allah enjoins us, Almighty God enjoins us, to treat our mothers kindly. And he said it three times. Some of the hadith says, or the saying of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, he said, treat your mother kindly. Or honor your mother. All these different words he say regarding your mother. And not be abusive towards your mother. Because one of the signs that the day of judgment is drawing near, one of the minor signs, is basically how people treat their mothers. Some girls may, for example, treat their mother in an unfair way and treat her like she's a slave to her. Or the other thing may be where a boy may treat his mother in an unfair way. He may abuse or misuse his mother, curse his mother out, say all kind of things to his mother, and sometimes the boys become a little bit stronger than the mother, and that usually what happens. And so he feels like, I'm stronger, I'm bigger, I could tell her what to do, now she tells me what to do. This is wrong. This is absolutely wrong if that's your attitude, because what it says here, treat your mother kindly. And it says it three times. And then Allah enjoins us to also treat our fathers kindly. He enjoins to treat our parents in a kind manner, and also to lower our wing of humility to them. They raise us up. They took care of us to the best of their ability. Sometimes they will give you something to eat. You may not know this, and give you some more to eat than they have themselves. They want to make sure that you ate as their child before they would feed themselves. And you may not know this. And you may ask them, you know, Mom, did you ever do this? And she may look at you. She may answer the question or give you a look where you know the answer from the look that she gave you. So treat, not because she treated you nicely at one time when you were young, but just treat her kindly. Treat her nicely. Treat both of your parents in a nice way. Lower your wing of humility to your parents. Don't even say, oof, like, oh, get out of my face kind of thing. Leave me alone kind of thing to your parents. This is not something that you do because Allah knows and hears everything that you do. Any good thing that you do or any bad thing that you do, any good thing that you say or any bad thing that you say, Allah is well aware of it. And you may have the answer on the day of judgment pertaining to it. For example, Allah will command your tongue to speak, and your tongue will tell on you without you having any control over your tongue. Right now, I'm speaking to you. I basically have control over my tongue. And you all pretty much have the same thing. But on the day of judgment, Allah instructs our tongue to speak. And the tongue is going to tell what you said and what words you said to and basically who you said it to. Your tongue they tell on you and say, yes, I cuss my mother out. I call her this. I call her that. I call my father this. I call him this name or that name that is degrading to the both of them. Instead of lowering your wing of humility. I know it's hard sometimes to do so for some people. I understand that. But sometimes you have to lower your wing of humility. You might even be right in a particular case, but then you have to make the decision to lower your wing of humility, or maybe talk to them later on. Maybe they're more receptive to understand what you're saying. Oh, now I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, son or daughter, whatever it is. I get it now. And so then you never know. They may change their mind later on. Or you pray to Allah, Ya Rabbi, my Lord, and ask Allah to forgive you for your shortcomings, and ask Allah to open up your parents' heart to hear what you have to say. And I say, and I'm going to say this to you, is that sometimes you find this safe time or safe space when you can talk to your parents. And ask your parents, is it whatever a language that you speak, and ask your parents, can we have a safe time, a safe place where I can speak a little bit freely? And we speak to them respectfully. And then let them know whatever is on your mind that is respectfully. Sometimes it's better to keep some things to yourself. And because it may be harmful or hurtful to your parents. So keep it to yourself. And Rasulullah, in peace be upon him, he said, say what is right, basically, or keep quiet. Keep silent. And so you keep that in mind when you're speaking to your parent. Don't be yelling and screaming and cussing your parent out and that kind of thing, or say these hurtful words towards them, or you're this and you're that, I don't love you, all these kind of words to your parents. You don't treat them like that. You think you're getting away with it. You think only you and them hear it because you're in a car or on a train or wherever you may be. You think you're alone or walking together. But the angels are with you and they're writing down your good and bad deeds. Anything that you do or say, and you're on your right side, writing all your good and your good deeds that you're doing, what you say, and also your angel on your left, so left side on your shoulder, writing down the bad deeds that you do and the bad things that you say. And so we have to be very, very careful, my beautiful students, pertaining to this, and treat your mother and your father fairly, and treat them right. And don't think, well, Satan may say, well, forget it. You know, you've done it already. Just keep on doing it. No. You pray a lot to give you strength to go, and maybe you've done this in the past, but you don't have to mean you have to do it in the present and the future. You can change. And ask a lot to help you to change. And don't be afraid of change. Sometimes change is good. Changing what you do or what you say is good. And you don't know how many tears are going to roll down your mother or your parents' eyes by you just changing how you are, or changing what you say, or changing how you treat them. But I don't have to go on and on. That's a whole nother khutbah, a whole nother sermon that I can say to you all in terms of treating your parents. But for surely treat them well. And again, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he said, treat them kindly. Three times he said about treating your mother kindly, and then also he mentioned about treating your father kindly, and also Allah enjoins you to treat the closest and the next closest kindly. Those who are close to you and the closest to you, treat them kindly. Also the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, he who is not merciful to others will not be treated mercifully. And so we keep this in mind. Have show mercy towards our children, towards our parents, towards our spouse, towards the elderly, respecting the elderly, treating them, be merciful towards them, and kind towards them. And this is what we must do. Show some kind of gentleness towards them and kindness towards them. He who is not merciful to others will not be treated mercifully. So treat people with mercy. And don't be afraid to do this. It does not make you weak. Those men who are my students or listen to me, sometimes we may think, I'm not going to show no weakness. No, it's okay to show weakness. It's okay to be affectionate. It's okay to show kindness. This is okay to do. Doesn't make you less of a man. It may even make you more of a man, because you've done this thing and you treated something in a kind way. Or a bird fell out of the tree or something like that, and you treat it in a kind way and you try to put it back into its nest. Or tell people, for example, the time where there were some people doing something near a tree, getting chopped down a tree or something like that, and this mama bird was flying over the place, all over, kind of making noise, and then they were told to stop doing that. And then what was happening is that the tree that with a chopping down, that's where her bird nest with her baby birds were in. So she can't verbalize that she was doing what she can, frantic, and telling them, don't do that. Don't chop down the tree, because you may hurt my baby birds that are in the, or kill them that are in this tree. So you show kindness and just back away. I had mentioned before about treatment of animals, when a man went down and got some water for himself, came up and saw a dog eating the dirt or panting for something to drink. The man, he could just walk away and say, hey, that's your problem. He didn't do that. He went down into the well. Some people say it's a woman. So he went down into the well, scooped up something, a sock or something, and like a leather sock, and put the water inside of the sock, and then came back up. And then he gave the water to the animal, who was just as thirsty as the man was before he went down into the well. He showed mercy towards that particular animal. One time, the Prophet, my peace be upon him, he used to lean against a tree. Then they made sort of a pulpit, a place where he could do his sermons. And then the tree started sort of crying, if you will, because it no longer had the best of mankind touching it and leaning against him while he told people about the words of Allah and what Allah wanted mankind to do. And so what happened is that the tree started crying, sort of, and the Prophet Muhammad, he didn't say chop this tree down and make it into a chair for myself. No, he kind of stroked the tree and kind of let it ease it and told you it's okay. You're gonna be okay. This is showing mercy towards the tree. I won't go into on and on and on about the showing of mercy and various other times, but you all get what I'm talking about. It's about how to treat things that are inanimate, which is a tree, an animal, which is, for in some eyes, less than a man, and then also the way it's supposed to treat mankind, meaning your mother and your father, and really all of mankind. If you see a person needs something to eat, and you go get them something to eat, you don't expect anything in return. Thank you, and then kiss your hand or something like that. No, you just go there and you treat them in a merciful and in a kind way. So let me go on to the next thing. And it is that the treatment of women. And so Allah's Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, treat women nicely. For a woman is created from a rib, and the most curved portion of the rib is the upper portion. So if you should try to straighten it, it will break. But if you leave it as it is, it will remain crooked. So treat women kindly. Basically, treat women the way they are. Treat them kindly. Don't try to reshape them, reform them. They don't need that from you. Treat them kindly. Treat them gently. Treat them nicely. Don't abuse them. Don't beat them up. The Prophet Muhammad, he never struck a child or a woman or an animal. Only time he raised his hand was during wartime. If you talk to his wife, you can't do it now, and they would say all the great things about this man and how he treated them. Or how he treated the orphans, which I might get into later on. How he treated the women. Yes, men, some of us are stronger than women, or whatever, taller than women, bigger than women, that kind of thing. But that's not a reason to dominate them and treat them in a bad way. Islamically, that's not how we do it. If a man says he's a Muslim and he's doing that, he's wrong. He's not found a way to Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. Anyone entering into Islam, you are also to treat the woman gently and kindly and have mercy upon them, and don't reshape them. They're beautiful like they are. They don't need reshaping from anyone at all, or remolding from anyone at all. Just be careful, my men, my students out there listening to me, and that we are to treat them kindly and treat them nicely. It's also mentioned by Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, when Aisha, his wife, said, I heard the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, suffocating in my house. O Allah, treat harshly those who rule over my ummah, meaning my nation or my community, with harshness. And treat gently those who rule over my ummah with gentleness. So he asked and praying to Allah, Allah, those people are harsh to the people in my community, then also be harsh on them. But those people who are gentle, and rule with the people in a gentle way, then please treat them with gentleness. So we have to be careful as leaders amongst the Muslims, amongst the people, is that we treat people in a kind way. We don't think that Allah is dead. Allah is not dead. He can see what you're doing. He knows what you are doing. He knows how you are treating the people. And if you're in a leader position, you don't dominate the people and be unworthy of that position, because you have power and authority and to rule over the people. So you're going to rule with an iron fist. You don't have to do that to the people, or smash other people with your what you feel should take place. You do it according to Quran and Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. Refer to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, when you're ruling over the people, when you're in charge over the people. Umar and also Abu Bakr, They were in charge over the people. Abu Bakr said, before he took position of being a caliph of the people, he basically said to me, look, those of you who are the smaller ones, the weaker ones, you are strong, or bigger, or great in my eyes over those who are the bigger ones or the richer ones or whatever. I'm not going to forget you, little people, in other words. I'm not going to let the people who are the ones who have the money and the power, whatever authority in the land, I'm not going to just do all for them and forget you all and forget the rest of you. Umar and I did an episode on Umar ibn Khattab, the beautiful way that this man was with those people who were, I guess, the lesser of the people in the community. Because one time he was with some people. I forgot where it was. It might have been an Umar or something like that. And so he was with some people, and some people deliver. If you ever ate overseas, and sometimes they bring these big round trays of rice and a lot of meat on top of it. It might be beef. It might be chicken or something like that on top of it. And then we have a communal plate, and we kind of grab from it, either put it on our plate or you use your hands and eat it like that. That's how they do it. Many times overseas, and don't say, "Ooh, this is bad. Why don't you have it just serve it up in a plate or something like that?" No, because people serve something in a plate does not mean that that's the only thing that is right and that is more acceptable. That's for your culture, it's okay, but for many other cultures, this is how we do it. Have a communal a tray of food, and everyone eats from it. And so let me go back to what I'm saying is that. Like four people, they brought this big tray of food over to Umar and sort of like the people, a bunch of other people. And then Umar looked over there at the other people that brought the tray. He said, well, they're going to eat too. What's going on with them? And they said, basically they were basically saying that those are servants because those people had went, delivered the tray, and it stayed on the side. And Umar like looked at it, no, you four, whatever, you come over here and you sit in my place. And you sit down and you eat. And then Umar, he was the khalifa, the leader of the people. He went and stood in their place until the people finished eating. And then he went over and he ate what was left in Allah knows best. This is how he was. And this is how leaders should be in terms of the people there first. Not you first, but the people are first. And so always have to keep that in mind to show the kindness towards the people and being gentle towards the people and being merciful towards the people like Umar was towards the individual. And so it was a situation, I know there's a brother, and I won't get into his name right now. He gave a talk, and I believe it was in South Africa. I don't know, someplace in the world. And so he gave a talk, and then there was separated of the sort of the darker people over here, or brown people over here, and the darker people over there. And so what happened is they were invited him to where the lighter skinned people were. And then he looks like, what's wrong with how about those people over there, the darker-skinned people? How come they're not eating with us? How come as Muslims, we're not mixing together? And I'm going to assume they said something. I don't know. But whatever it was, I can't remember. I don't know if the brother told them, you who are the darker ones, you come mix with the others. Or did he go over and mix with the ones who are the dark-skinned, and then the others join those people? I don't know how it worked out, but the thing is, you are so mercy towards the people. You don't put one group of people on this on one level and another group of people on that level. Some of you are listening to me. You may be of a particular skin color, and your skin color may dominate over people or from a different skin color or tribe, something like that. But Allah said that He made us as a nation and tribe, so we do what? So we can learn from one another, and not divide. Wala tafarraqu, and not divide amongst each other. So we have to keep that in mind. That I'm here for you to learn from me from one tribe, and you're here for me to learn from you, and you're from another tribe. And we're supposed to treat each other in a kind and in a gentle way and in a merciful way. Let me go on, my beautiful brothers and sisters, because my time is running short. And that is Abu Bakr Siddiq, which is the father-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the first Khalifa of Islam. He said, "One who treats badly those under his authority will not enter paradise." This is what he said to the Prophet Muhammad. He said, "One who treats badly those under his authority will not enter paradise." All of us want to enter paradise. We want to do all that we can to enter paradise. And yes, I'm in charge over the people, and I want to make sure that I treat the people in a good way, in a nice way, in a kind way. Yeah, I have authority to do this or to say this towards the people, and they're supposed to obey me and follow me. But then again, I can't treat them in this bad way. I want to end the paradise. This world is not paradise. This world is a journey that I'm making towards a destination, which is paradise. That's basically what I'm doing. This world is not my destination. I live in this world, and this on this side of the world, this side of the bird's eye, or the vision, or the barrier between myself and the next world, I'm here. And so I do all that I can that is good in this world, and treat as many people kind and gentle in this world, so I can get to the paradise in the next world. Again, it was said, one who treats badly those under his authority will not enter paradise. It's also mentioned, my beautiful students, that the Messenger of Allah, he said to Abu Dhar, he said, "Have taqwa, meaning piety or righteousness, of Allah wherever you are, and follow an evil deed with a good one, and wipe a good one to wipe it out, and treat the people with good behavior." So it says a lot of things here. Have taqwa, meaning be righteous or have piety. And also that we, if we do a bad deed or evil deed, don't say, "Okay, it's done." Like, all right, I got to ask Allah for forgiveness, or I'm going to do more evil deeds. No, you do something bad, you do something evil, then what wipes it away is doing something good. Yes, I did something bad towards you. I want to get rid of that. Sure, I'm going to apologize to you for it. I realize, man, it was wrong what I said to you, whatever, and hopefully you forgive me for whatever I said or whatever good I can do, say give some kind of charity, something like that, or organization that are helping other people, and a very charitable organization, and give towards them, and they give on my behalf, and then that's doing a good deed to wipe out my bad deed that I did or something that I said, and treat people with good behavior. It didn't say treat only Muslim with good behavior, only men with good behavior, only women with good behavior. It said treat people, nas, mankind, with good behavior. Treat those people you come in contact with good behavior. Be nice towards these people. Be kind towards these people. Be merciful towards these people. And you're going to treat people the way you want to be treated. I just put it to you that way to give you a trying to capitalize on what I'm saying to you, my beautiful students. I want to mention something else to you, and that is Abu Huraira, when the Prophet commanded, reported that the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing upon him, said, "The best house among the Muslim is the house in which orphans are well treated. The worst house among the Muslim is the house in which orphans are ill-treated. I and the guardian of the orphan will be in paradise like that," indicating his two fingers. He held up two fingers and put them, get two fingers and closest to your thumb and your shortest finger, I guess. And he put those together and I'm not sure which fingers are used, but I don't know if that's important. He put them together, indicating that him and the orphans will be together. So if you have a person, an orphan is a basic Islamic person where his father died. That's an orphan. And then, of course, the mother is the widow. And so the thing is, these are the people, that kind of people that Prophet Muhammad may take care of. He will marry the woman who is a widow. And a widow is meaning she may even have children that are orphans and need to be taken care of. We don't look for someone that, "Oh, she's so beautiful, see this or that." You can marry them. It's okay to do that and Kevin do, and tell them to do the opposite and make a sin with them, but you can marry to get the blessings. It's like and take care of the widow, and also take care of the orphans, and treat them in a kind and gentle manner. And so my beautiful students, please keep in mind some things that I said, how you should treat others. And you want to learn more about Islam, Islamic faith, and increase your knowledge of Islam and Islamic faith, you can visit Why Islam. Also, you can learn more about Islam going to the International Online University and also the American Open University. We can learn more about the topic that I talk about today. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.